Praise God. Praise God. I want to welcome a special guest here this morning. Pastor friend of mine, John Kitchen, and his wife are here today, and we welcome you to Faith Bible Fellowship. Generally, if I'm not here, if I'm on vacation, I'm over at Stowe Alliance Church hearing a good message from God's Word, and we just really appreciate you being here today, brother. Well, there are some things that just are not good when they're lukewarm. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for some warm days. And on a hot day, there's nothing that I like better if I'm out in the yard working than a cold, ice-cold glass of lemonade. Love ice-cold glass of lemonade. But have you ever gotten a glass of lemonade and maybe you drink about half of it and you set it down and it's out there in the sun and a little while later you come back and you grab it and it's lukewarm? I'll tell you what, I don't like lukewarm lemonade. It just does not taste good. Or perhaps milk. Now, I like milk. I drink milk with my dinner, with my supper. I drink milk. And I even sometimes I'll put ice cubes in my milk because I like cold milk. But have you ever, and I just did this a week ago, went home for lunch after service and had a glass of milk on the table, and I drank about two-thirds of it, and there was about that much left in the bottom of the glass. And we got talking. I don't talk much, but but we got talking, and we were talking and having a good time, and time passed. And you know, I hate to throw things away. So there was that third of a glass of milk. And then it sat out for an hour or so, and I went to drink it. And, I don't like lukewarm milk. Anybody here like, I don't need to ask. Milk's not good lukewarm. And some of you know, I like coffee. And I start out in the morning, I get a cup of coffee, but I like my coffee hot. In fact, today I went over to McDonald's. Now, that's not my favorite coffee, but I went over to McDonald's, got a nice hot cup of coffee. And I like hot coffee. I go up about two times a week up to, what's that place, Starbucks, and get me a good cup of coffee. But you know what? I come back here and I'll start to drink Starbucks coffee, and then I get working on something and it sits there. And you know what? This is amazing. Even Starbucks coffee, when it's lukewarm, doesn't taste very good. So I go downstairs to the microwave about five times a day and heat up that coffee, because some things just are not good when they're lukewarm. You know something else that's not good when it's lukewarm? The church or the Christian life. Now, I want to tell you about a church this morning that was lukewarm. Now, let me just tell you about this church. This church was not against Christ, but it wasn't really too much for Christ either. And this church was not irreligious, but it wasn't very enthusiastic either. And this church was not particularly immoral, but it wasn't known for its holiness. It didn't oppose the gospel, but it didn't defend or preach the gospel either. It wasn't known for working mischief, but it wasn't known for doing much good either. In fact, if you would have put the members of this church on trial for being Christians, there wouldn't have been enough evidence to convict them. They were just a lukewarm bunch. So take your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. And I want to read Jesus' letter to the church of Laodicea. Starting in verse 14, Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea, write the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says this: I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I spit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I'm rich, I've become wealthy, I have need of nothing. And you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, naked, and blind. I advise you, I counsel you, to buy from me gold refined by fire, that you may become rich, and white garments that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him. And I'll dine with him. I'll fellowship with him. And he with me. He who overcomes, I will grant him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down on my Father's throne, on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, folks, I want to give you a little background on this Laodicean church, the Laodicea. This town was located, as the other letters to the seven churches, in what we call Asia Minor. It was in the Lycus Valley near the towns of Colossae and Hierapolis. Laodicea was famous for its wealth. It had a thriving banking industry. It was famous also for its medical school. And in that medical school, they had developed an eye salve that they used and applied to treat eye ailments. It was also known as a textile center, a textile industry. They manufactured clothing. It was a prosperous city. And as I just mentioned, it was located near two towns, the town of Hierapolis and the town of Colossae. Now, I tell you that because Hierapolis was known for its hot mineral springs. Its hot mineral springs, which were known for their medicinal purposes. I guess if someone had arthritis in that day or muscle aches, they would go to Hierapolis and they would take a hot mineral bath and it would help them. It was known for its hot waters. And Colossae was known for its cool, pure spring waters. You could go to Colossae and they had these cold springs that would come up and you could get a cold glass of water. But Laodicea had to receive its water from an outside source. They had to have their water, if you will, piped in. They brought their water to the town by aqueduct. And by the time water reached Laodicea, it was lukewarm and provoked nausea. Now, folks, this is the last of the seven letters we've been studying. And Jesus sent this to this church. And this church stands in a prophetic view of the seven churches, which we're going to look at next week. I want you to see this next week. This is amazing. But this church stands for the church at the end of the age. And folks, this church has long past ceased to exist. But the spirit of this church is prevalent today, is multiplied today. And listen, folks, if we are not careful, this spirit can creep into our lives as Christians. the Laodicean spirit. Now, let's begin in verse 14 and look at the character of Christ or the picture of Christ. You remember in every one of these seven letters, Christ begins with a description of himself. And they're all different, folks, because Christ appears to these different churches in all his fullness differently because they had different needs. Look how he appears in verse 14. He says, he starts out, the Amen. The Amen. And the word Amen means it is true. I guarantee it. But here, folks, it's used as a proper name for Jesus. Isn't that something? It's interesting that he would present himself. I thought it's interesting he present himself like this to the lukewarm church. Do you know it's not bad to say amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Dave. It's not bad to say amen because every time you say amen, you're saying the name of Jesus. Because he is the amen of God. It's not bad to say that. In fact, if you say that, you're in pretty good company. Because in the King James Version, back in chapter 1, verse 18, Jesus said amen. Jesus said this, I am he that liveth, I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. So Jesus used that word. It's a name of Jesus. And I thought about that. You know what? There are some churches you go to, you will never hear an amen. You couldn't pay people in some churches to say amen. But I have a sneaking suspicion that if you are in a church where the Spirit of God is alive and working in the midst, and you have people that are on fire for Christ, every once in a while, you're going to hear an amen. Yeah, you are. The amen of God. The amen of God. And then he goes on, he says, the faithful and true witness. Isn't that interesting that he would present himself as the faithful and true witness? Here again, maybe an indicator of spiritual temperature. Jesus is the faithful and true witness. Am I a faithful and true witness? Are you a faithful and true witness? Maybe an indicator of spiritual temperature. I wonder if somebody is really on fire for the... I wonder if they have a burden for the lost. I wonder if they would be praying for souls and maybe actually making attempts to win people to Christ. Jesus is the faithful and true witness. He's the beginning of the creation of God. Now, don't misunderstand that. That doesn't mean that Jesus is the first created creature that God created, as the Jehovah's Witness would tell you. By the way, tonight in our evening service, we're going to take a look at how to answer the Jehovah's Witness. When the Jehovah's Witnesses say Jesus is not God, we're going to take a look at that tonight. And I invite you back. But the Jehovah's Witnesses go to this verse and they say, see, he's the beginning of the creation of God. He's God's first creature that he created. That's not what it means. It means that he is the source of all creation. Jesus is the source of all life. Jesus is the source of all physical life. Jesus is the source of all spiritual life. Jesus is the source of all new life and revived life in the Christian. The beginning of the creation of God. Then we move from the character of Christ to the confrontation of Christ in verses 15 and 16. Note, folks, this is the only church where there is no commendation. Jesus has no praise for this church. No praise for this church. Jesus says in verse 15, I know your deeds, you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either cold or hot. So because you're lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I spit you out of my mouth. He says, you know, the Laodiceans knew exactly what Jesus was saying. They knew that he was saying, you are like the lukewarm waters that come your way via the aqueduct. Nauseating. I wish you were cold or hot, but because you're lukewarm, I spit you out of my mouth. I'm nauseated with lukewarmness. Now, what's this look like? Okay, they were a lukewarm church. What does lukewarmness, let's put some flesh on the bones. What does lukewarmness look like in a church? I thought what we would do is take a look at three areas. Let's take a look at worship. Let's take a look at evangelism. And let's take a look at stewardship. First of all, worship. What's somebody look like who's cold in worship? Well, somebody that's cold in worship comes to church when it's convenient. They get up on Sunday morning and they look at their spouse and say, "You want to go? Do you think we ought to go to church today? One of their favorite mantras is, I can be a Christian and not go to church. I can worship Jesus out on the golf course. You might be able to do that, but you probably won't. You might use his name out there, but you're probably not worshiping him. And their favorite song, you know what their favorite song is? Favorite hymn? Let me sing it for you. Take my wife and let me be seated in front of my TV. That's their favorite song, favorite hymn. That's somebody that's cold. What does somebody that's hot in worship look like? Oh, they love God. They come to church and they are prepared to worship God, and the worship of God is just an overflow of their week of worship in their personal time with the Lord. They're worshiping God during the week and they just come to church and they overflow with worship for God. I'm going to tell you, they come with anticipation. Like the person, and I won't say who it was, but I was leaving here this morning at about 7:30 in the morning, and they were arriving at church. I said, boy, you're early this morning. They said, I can't wait to get in there. I'm just so excited to be in God's house. That's hot. 7:30. That was early, brother. That was early. But they came with anticipation. They worship God with their whole heart. When the songs are being sung, they sing. With joy, they come. Listen, somebody that's hot in worship comes to give, not to get. Whew. Wow. What's somebody lukewarm look like? Well, do they come to church? Yeah, they do. They come to church, but they're lackadaisical in worship. They hardly participate. Sing? Well, they may sing. But after singing, after they close the hymn book, or after the words are gone, they don't even remember what they sang. They come to church generally for one of four reasons. Some people come to church to go home. What? Yeah, they come to church to go home. You know how I know? They're looking, when's this going to be over? Got to get home. Some people, another reason, that are lukewarm come to church, they come to church to cure insomnia. Like the guy that I talked to that was going out the door, and I said, you know what? I saw you as I was preaching. Your eyes were closed. He said, I can listen better that way. Some people come to church out of duty. We got to go to church. That's what Christians do. And a lukewarm Christian comes to church. Some come to church for tradition. But when they come, you know what? Their heart's not in it. It's just lukewarm. How about evangelism? What's somebody that's cold when it comes to evangelism? Well, they have no interest in soul winning. No interest. Let the pastor do it. That's what we pay him for. When it comes to missions, I don't care. That doesn't affect me. They're just cold. How about somebody that's hot for evangelism? I'll tell you, somebody hot for evangelism is witnessing for Christ. I'll tell you, like the guy, I was down at the natatorium yesterday. This was such a blessing in my life. I wish I could tell you, running the track. I was walking the track. And I passed two guys. And here was a guy witnessing to a friend as they walked around the track. I'll tell you, I love that. I was so excited. I got my tracks out and started putting tracks out at the natatorium. You know, somebody praying for souls, giving out gospel tracts, inviting people to church, prays over a list of people that they want to see come to Christ, develops relationships with non-Christians because they want to see them come to Christ. That's somebody hot. But what does a lukewarm Christian look like when it comes to evangelism? They know it's the Christian's job to witness. But I don't have the gift. Or their favorite saying is this: I witness with my life. But when it comes to telling somebody about Christ, they're like the river in the Arctic, frozen at the mouth. And they pray something like this: Lord, send someone to my next door neighbor to share Christ with him. That's lukewarm. How about stewardship? How about giving? Somebody that's cold in giving would not think of ever giving a nickel to the Lord. All those churches are after is your money, they say. They're always begging. That's cold. What's hot? I'll tell you, somebody that's hot when it comes to stewardship, they give sacrificially to support the work of the Lord. They count it a great privilege to give earthly money to bring spiritual blessings. They know that it is true that he is no fool who gives that which he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. They know that where your treasure is, there is your heart also. They count it a privilege to give. They don't give grudgingly. Oh, no, here comes the offering plate again. Oh, of necessity. Oh, I have to give. Sportwear. They give hilariously. You can tell because when the plate is passed, they're laughing. Oh, I can't wait. That's hot. That's hot, man. I'll tell you, they know. I'll tell you that God can take, and it's more blessed to give than receive. And they're given to the Lord because this is the most important work on planet Earth. They know that. And I'll tell you, they know that everything they have is a gift from God. And they're just stewards. And they're hot. What's lukewarm look like? They give. They give regularly what they can afford. Tithe? Are you kidding me? I can't afford to tithe. Let the rich people in the church tithe and give. I can't afford it. I've got a payment on my boat to worry about. I've got a payment on my new SUV. And I've got my vacation to the Bahamas coming up. Tithe? You've got to be kidding me. They're lukewarm. Folks, that's what the Laodicean church was like. Can you believe it? They were not hot. They were not cold. They were a lukewarm bunch. Their spiritual temperature was tepid. They were not totally in the world denying Christ, having no interest at all, staying home every week from church. But they were not on fire for God, sold out, given over, living unreservedly for Christ. They were somewhere in the middle of mediocrity. And just like the waters that came to them via the aqueduct, Jesus says, you're nauseating. I spew you out of my mouth. Now, folks, this land to see in spirit is around today. And you know what the sad thing is? I see it sometimes in my own heart, in my own life. And if we're not careful, it gets in there and we become lukewarm. Well, Jesus has something to say to that. He has a cure for lukewarmness. It's found in verses 17 through 20. If you look there, the cure for lukewarmness. And the first thing, the first thing is you got to realize your condition. Look up in verse 15. Jesus says, I would rather you be cold or hot. Now, tell me something. I don't understand this. Wait a second, Jesus. You'd rather me be cold or hot. Now, I can understand you saying, "Less, I want you to be hot." But why in the world would he say, "I'd rather you be cold or hot"? Do you know why? You see, lukewarmness. Isn't lukewarmness better than being cold? Is it? No. It's not. Let me illustrate why. You know what? On a cold, icy day, a shivering cold day, before you go outside, what do? You put your coat on. Why do you put your coat on? Because you realize your need. Now, that is, unless you're a teenager. And we won't go there. But you realize it's cold outside. I've got to put a coat on. I was talking to Dave and Linda Bailey. They're just back from Florida. And we're talking about down in Florida. You know, you go out in that sun. What do you have to do, Dave? When it's sunny out and when it's hot and that sun's coming down, what do you got to do, Dave? You got to put on the lotion. Because if you don't put on the lotion, what's going to happen, Dave?
Like what happened to me.
Yeah, what happened to Dave? you see, you, when it's hot, you realize, man, I got to do this. I have a need. But you know what? A lukewarm bath will put you to sleep. Lukewarm bath. If you go out, you know, some days it's just kind of in between and there's clouds out there and you go out and it feels kind of good and everything and you don't realize you have a need for that suntan lotion and you go out and it's kind of cloudy and you get burnt because you don't realize your need. And you see, the bad thing about being spiritually lukewarm is you think you're okay. You become unconscious of the desperate spiritual condition. You are anathematized. You are chloroformed into mediocrity. Look at verse 17. This is because you say, "I'm rich. I've become wealthy. I don't have any needs." And Jesus says, "You don't know. You become chloroformed. You're anathematized to your real condition." They were saying, "We're rich, we're wealthy, we've got fancy clothes. I have an $800 suit on. My wife has a $300 dress on. We got big bank accounts. We don't have need of anything." And Christ says, "You're poor, you're wretched, you're naked, you're blind. You're dressed up in all these fancy clothes, but your soul is naked. You have eye salve that you developed in your medical school and you've applied the eye salve and none of you are wearing glasses and you're not even wearing contacts, but spiritually you are as blind as a bat." They didn't even realize it. They were kind of like the people back in Malachi's day. Remember Malachi, last book of the Old Testament? You know, they were lukewarm. They were lukewarm, and the prophet came and said, "You know what? There's a problem here." And they said, "Who, with us?" "Yeah, your worship isn't what it should be." "Who, us?" "Yeah, your work isn't what it should be." "Who, us?" "Your walk isn't what it should be." "Who, us?" "Your words aren't what they should be." "Who, us?" Your wallets aren't what they should be. Who, us? He said, your worship is shallow. Your work is shoddy. Your walk is shameful. In fact, some of you are being treacherous against the wives of your youth. You're divorcing your wives or your youth for young chicks. And anybody that does that doesn't even have a remnant of the Spirit. And your words are skeptical. And you know what else? You're robbing God. Who, us? Rob God? Mm-hmm. You're not bringing the tithe and the offering into the storehouse. See, the bad part about it was these people were going through all the motions, but their heart was far from God, and they didn't even realize it. They were lukewarm, just like the Laodicean church. I wonder if God's speaking to any of us here this morning. They were lukewarm. Let's do something. Let's take the temperature. God's word, my heart. What's the temperature? Is it cold? Is it going out the top? Oh my, look, it's kind of in the middle. Lukewarm. You know what, folks? Listen, if God's Spirit speaks to your heart today and he says, you know what? You're cold. Or you're lukewarm. Folks, that's not bad. Because the first step in the cure for lukewarmness, you got to recognize it.
Yes, sir.
Got to realize it.
Yes, sir.
What's your temperature? What's your temperature? Second step, down in verse 18. First of all, you got to recognize your condition. Second of all, you got to heed his counsel. See, Jesus says in verse 18, I advise you, I counsel you. He's a wonderful counselor. He comes and he says, outwardly you're rich, come to me and I will make you spiritually rich. It's the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. Outwardly you're dressed in fine clothing, come to me and I'll clothe you with the garments of heaven. I will clothe you with the robes of salvation, the robes of righteousness. Come to me. Outwardly, you've applied the eye salve to your eyes and you have 20/20 physical vision. Come to me and I'll give you sight and insight into my word and into my ways. Come to me. That's his counsel. Come to me. If you realize, man, there's some coldness, there's some lukewarmness in my life, you've got to come to Christ and you've got to say, Lord, I want the blessings of being on fire for Christ, because there's great blessings in being on fire for him. You've got to come. And if you recognize, or if you fail to recognize, or if you recognize and don't come, then you've got to yield to his chastening. Look down in verse, look what verse 19 says. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Or I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. That's what he says. If we're here today, listen, if we're here today, and we just are hard and I'm not going to come to Christ, I'm not going to do business with God, and we walk out of here. Or we recognize, you know what? Man, I am lukewarm as a Christian. I'm really lukewarm. And we won't come to Christ and let him deal with us. Guess what he's got to do? Spank us. Would he do that? Would he do that?
Yes.
You better believe it. Why? Because he loves us. You see, God loves you right where you are. That's the neat thing. He loves me right where I am, but he loves me too much to let me stay there. So he says, listen, if you don't do business with me, Then I'm going to have to spank you. Then I'm going to have to chasten you. Then I'm going to have to discipline you because I love you. And I want you to have the blessings of the Spirit-filled, on fire, life for Christ. And so we have to recognize our need. We have to heed his counsel. If we don't heed his counsel, then we have to yield to his chastening. But fourthly, we've got to draw near in communion. Down in verse 20, and here is one of probably the best known verses in the New Testament, certainly probably the best known verse in the book of Revelation. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and fellowship, dine, sup with him, and he with me." He says, if you hear. Now, a lot of times, folks, we apply that verse to non-Christians. And I think it applies. Certainly, Christ wants to come into a non-Christian's life and save a soul. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. I hope you hear him. I hope you hear him. But you know what? I think, folks, in context, this verse is not talking so much to the non-Christian. It's talking to the Christian that needs personal revival. Personal revival. You see, we pray for revival. I'll tell you, today, here up in front of the church, 6:30 in the morning, we met and we prayed for revival. And I think that's good to pray for revival. But other people have told me, Pastor, I'll tell you what, there's not going to be a great revival before Jesus comes back. There's no place in Scripture where it tells us there's going to be a revival. I don't know if we should even pray for revival. Well, I don't know about that. I don't know. That's sovereign will of God. God could bring revival to his church. We need revival. We need revival. I don't know if he'll bring a revival to his church, but you know one thing I am sure of? Every one of us can experience personal revival as we come. Jesus says, "Behold, I, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, the one who can create new life in your heart. I stand at the door of your heart, and I knock." How does Jesus knock? He knocks different ways. He knocks through Christians sharing things of the Lord with us, through the faithful lives of other believers, through the life of a faithful spouse, yes, through the prayers of God's people, through circumstances, accidents, sickness, financial loss, loss of a job, through his goodness and kindness, because it's the goodness and kindness of God that leads us to repentance. And folks, he can even knock through a preacher. I hear all those amens in your heart. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone, I don't care where you are, you can be a million miles away from God, or you can be right on the footstool. If anyone, old or young, anyone, male or female, anyone hears my voice and opens the door. Opens the door. How do I open the door? By faith. You take God at his word. You believe that if I come and do business with God, I come and say, "God, I want you first place in my heart. I want you on the throne of my heart. I want you to take and ignite the altar of God in my heart." You know what he'll do? He'll do it. Faith. If anyone will open the door, I will come in and have intimate fellowship with that person. And I'll set them on fire for the things of God and the devotion to Jesus Christ. This morning, I just want to sincerely ask, what's your spiritual temperature? God's word is a thermometer. my heart? What's my spiritual temperature? And if it's anything but on fire for Christ, he would have you come. He's standing. Do you hear him? He's knocking. He's saying, let me in. Let me set your life on fire for Jesus Christ. Would you bow in prayer?